what do you think would have happened if he had been assassinated? Or do you think eventually somebody would have? I mean, I guess there always was the chance in everything he did that someday...
everything that he did.
Yeah.
And that any time he could be killed. And everything I've read, I don't think he's worried about dying anymore, because that possibility was always there. And I think the African Americans worried about somebody killing him all the time. And I truly believe if he had not been assassinated, we wouldn't be any further than what we are.
Nothing would have changed. Because still the mentality of most white people
had not changed. And I don't know why America, and I keep telling myself that one day before I get to be a really old lady, that skin color won't matter anymore. But racism is just as strong now as it is, as it was when I was a child. It's just disguised a little bit better now. That's all. Since I have been teaching, I have had parents not to want their children in my room because I was black, or I've been called a nigger a couple of times, and immediately I'll have the child go look at the words. I said, do you really know what it means? Do you know what you're saying? And most children don't. And I will ask, I said, why do you dislike me? What have I done to you? I said, now if you peel my top layer of skin off and take yours off, could you tell any difference between the two of us other than our gender? No. People, racism is something that we, the children, learn to be racist in one way or another. And to be honest with you, we are all a little prejudiced. We are all, if we're very honest about it. Because there are times when I look at things and I ask myself, and my children have asked quite frequently, Mother, if I had not been black, would I have been treated this way? Or have I pushed black children harder because I want them to succeed, because I know what it's like out there for them? And young people today, they take, especially black children, they take all of the rights and privileges that they have today for granted. They don't know how they got them. They don't appreciate them. And like this year, this was one year we happened to have been in school on Martin Luther King's birthday because we were making up a day. And I asked, why would we be out of school today if it had not snowed? Why did we celebrate Martin Luther King's birthday? What did he do? And I was hurt. Black children didn't know.
They didn't know their own.
They didn't know.
I'm going to flip this before it turns out. That people can think and have a way about this. When you raised your daughters, did this influence the way you raised your daughters?
Yes. Yes.
And making sure that they were.
Yes. I know it's not taught in high schools. Lizzie Nordoff, did you need to see me?
No.
Oh, you can have a soft drink. We don't care. I make it a point to give them that black history that they need. I talk about it. I tell them, this is why this person is so important to me. This is why this person should be important to you. And I don't teach to my children that you are better than somebody just because of your ethnic group, because we all contributed something very good, something very useful to the American society. And you should be extremely proud of who you are. And don't let anyone ever take that away from you. To Bernadette's, she's my oldest child. She decided where she wanted to go to school. Alabama State was not one of her options. Mother did not say, baby, you would gain so much out of going to a predominantly black school. And the reason I didn't say that to my child, because my child has never lived in a predominantly black society. My child does not, she didn't grow up in a predominantly black neighborhood. We live in an integrated neighborhood for 16 years. She was the only little black child on her street until her sister came along. We still attend a black church because, to me, we need that foundation. We need something where my children can see our culture still thrives. The black church has so much of this culture there that existed in the black neighborhoods. I admit that my pastor is the Reverend John Nettles, waste a lot of time on a Sunday talking about things that I read in the paper and I get involved in things, but there are a lot of elderly people in my church that don't. And my children need to see this. My children need to hear this. So that when my children grow up, my children will know where they came from. They will know that history behind how black people suffered and died so that they can now go to the poll and vote. That black parents suffered and died so that my daughter can go to the University of Alabama if she wants to go. Anything that she wants to do, she can do this.
Do you remember the first time talking about voting? Do you remember when you first voted?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Now, my mother got very involved in registering blacks to vote. And so when I turned 18, you couldn't vote then. The voting age was 20, still 21 in our state. And in 1972, when the amendment was passed, I was in Auburn. I rushed home because I wanted to vote in Chambers County because I was just in Auburn working. I rushed back to Chambers County to register to vote so that I could vote for the President of the United States. That was such a thrill to me to be able to vote because I knew how difficult it had been for blacks to register to vote. And I remember how my grandparents went through the ordeal of struggling to read sections out of the Constitution, having to pay poll taxes in order to vote.
Right.
And during that, right before that, those black students had gotten killed in Mississippi trying to register black people to vote.
I didn't know that. I haven't heard that.
You don't know about the summer that college students came from northern states. They made a movie out of it. It's Mississippi Burning.
Oh, that was the
movie. That's the movie.
I haven't seen it.
Where college students went to Alabama, Mississippi, and they registered black people to vote.
Right.
And one evening there was these three young people. Two of them were black and one was white. They were out in this rural community. And they disappeared. They disappeared in Mississippi. They eventually found them. They were dead though when they found them. They had somewhere, and I wish I could remember the name of where it was, they had been killed by the Klan and buried and a dam. They had built a dam in this little town in Mississippi, and they had covered the entire car with all of this dirt, and they eventually found those children's bodies there. And it was just so important to me that I registered to vote.
And talking about the Klan, was that ever a real fear?
Were
they ever visible?
Yes, very visible in the fair. They would come out and have parades downtown in the heart of the little square. There was a black family that moved across the road on the other side. And they had a cross burned in their yard. We got a couple of threats when the White High School was integrated with my brother. And my father made it very plain to whoever it was on the phone that if anything happened to his child, that he would personally kill the person or kill somebody. Because nothing was going to happen to his child, because all his child was trying to do was just get an education. So we knew the plan was there, and nothing was done about it. You know, this was the 60s and early 70s, and the plan, and everybody assumed that everybody else was in the plan, and the police didn't do anything about the plan coming to town, having a parade.
They were just sort of the law.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.